Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So after all that, I'd like to speak to you about the reading, that first reading that we heard from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And I'd like to talk to you about vineyards for a minute. So my wife and I are going to take a little trip to the West Coast in a couple of weeks, and we're going to visit friends of hers, and they live in Tawasin. Do people know Tawasin? Yeah. So Tawasin, the only municipality in Canada that I know of that can grow palm trees. So they kind of push it a little bit, the municipality kind of push it. You know, the palm trees are not very big, but they're going, yeah, we can grow palm trees, you guys. So there, nobody else can. But my friends who live in this beautiful climate, our friends who live in this beautiful climate, have a beautiful garden. My wife's a longtime friend, is a very dedicated gardener. And we go out and we have dinner on their back deck. And what's the name of that Italian restaurant? The Olive Garden? Right? It's like an Olive Garden commercial. You know, we're sitting there under the trellis. There are the grapes growing. Perfect garden. And I have two inclinations. One is to say to them, come on, you guys, we're in Canada. You can't do this. You know, I spent all my life in Manitoba and Alberta. I'm going, this is not right, that people get to live this way in Canada. And the other thing is, well, you just can't get any more perfect than this, right? Sitting under the trellis, eating delicious food with the grapes growing around you. It's pretty perfect. And it's an image of perfection in, as you've heard, in the book of the prophet Isaiah as well. As we read in the psalm, as well, this is Israel, God's people, and the good land that God has given them is best described as a vineyard. And why a vineyard? Because everything God does is beautiful. And what is more beautiful than a vineyard? To be sitting there, like that, under the trellises, in this perfect setting. So Isaiah says there's a problem. And the problem is this. Well, in my friend's garden, there's something that isn't there. And what isn't there are statues of the god Baal. And Isaiah says there's a problem in the garden of Israel, the vineyard of Israel. And that is the view is kind of blocked. The beautiful view is kind of blocked by statues of the god Baal. The land is full of idols, he says. And so what's a problem with a land full of idols? Well, the problem with a land full of idols is that idols, Isaiah tells us over and over again, they're a lie. Because people claim that they're gods, and they're the gods that gave the people the land, and they keep it fertile, and they provide well-being, and they provide food and all the wonderful things people have. But of course that's a lie, and Isaiah has many images of these idols having to be carried by poor animals, you know, because they're so heavy, and people dragging idols behind them because they're so heavy, and saying in a playful way, he's playing with words and going, these are not gods, their emptiness. And because they are empty, so you have a land which is perfect, which is a vineyard, which is full of idols, which is beautiful because God is beautiful. The problem with gods that are empty is that they are lies. And the problem with lies are, what do lies do? Let's think about this for a second. What do lies do? Well, they confuse you, right? Why is confuse you? Because there's the word that's being spoken or whatever, somehow something's being presented, and then there's the truth. And so lies create confusion. You're being told one thing, but the truth is another thing. And so lies create confusion. And whether that's on a small level, that's interpersonally, somebody's lying to you, or God forbid, we deceive other people in some even small ways, or in a big level, at the level of, say, propaganda. What's the famous saying about war? The first victim of war is the truth, right? So we know that propaganda is created in situations where one group wants to control another, and the best way to do that is to create confusion. This is what people will do if they are trying to control other people, for example. They will lie to them and then try to convince them it's the truth. And so we have this phrase that has been very common these days. People talk about gaslighting, right? Where you're saying one thing, person knows it's not true, and they're trying to convince you, and then eventually you think you're crazy. Like, what is true and what isn't true? The problem with these false gods is their lies, and so you are what you worship. And so things kind of downstream create a kind of culture of lying. Isaiah does not like lying very much. In fact, as we read on through chapter 5, this is the beginning of chapter 5, and it continues on as one unit. At the end of chapter 5, it says this, towards the end, it says this: woe to those who call what is good evil, and what is evil good, or what is sweet bitter, or what is bitter sweet. And then he goes on. But the point is, woe to those who are trying to deceive other people, who are lying. And again, something he blames on the idols. And so the situation that he presents that has happened to this good land, this good vineyard that God has made perfect and beautiful, the situation is not pretty. And I say it's not pretty because of this. The one thing that you can say about God in the Bible, a couple of things you can say about God in the Old Testament particularly, I'm thinking, is that whatever God does, all his saving acts are beautiful. They create beauty. They create beauty. This is a quote from, I think this is the phrase that might have brought me into the church in my early 20s. One of the ancient fathers says, God creates order, beauty, and dignity. That's how you can tell when God has been at work. Why? Because God is the truth. And the truth is beautiful, it creates order, and it creates human dignity. And so, again, the great symbol of God's beauty creating, his order creating, his dignity creating, is the vineyard. Being at my friend's house, sitting under the trellis. In chapter 3, verse 18, Isaiah says, this vineyard, this beautiful creation of God's saving act, has been destroyed by the leaders of Judah who want to be in control and to want you to believe lies. Good news is this. In chapter 37, sometimes you got to read the whole book, right, to get the story. Chapter 37, Isaiah goes on, and he says, yeah, this vineyard's been wrecked. The view has really been wrecked by all these idols in the way of all this beautiful stuff. This has become kind of a culture of lies and people deceiving each other. He says, But chapter 37, Isaiah says, God will renew his beautiful vineyard with fruit that will feed the whole world. Why is that? I mean, how can that happen after so much destruction? And the answer is this: because God is the truth. And only the truth is real, and in the end, only the truth will survive. There's this, I don't know if you paid much attention to Greek or Russian icons. I know some of you have, but if you've ever seen this icon of Jesus holding a book, got a big book there, and behind his, in this sacred painting, there are two words behind his head. And it's two Greek words that are simply, that simply can be translated as the one who is. The one who is. In other words, he is the truth. And everything that claims to be him and tries to take the place of him is a lie. And only that which is will survive, and only that which is true will survive. And in the end, only that which is beautiful and orderly and gives people dignity will survive all appearances to the contrary. So what can we do? How do we face deception? Well, as I said, people do it. We do it. We shouldn't exclude ourselves. Happens for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes people want to try and control other people, as I've mentioned. Sometimes we want to make excuses for ourselves, even in small ways, you know. We want to make things a little easier for ourselves, so we might kind of not say the whole thing. Sometimes we want to maintain an image of ourselves we have of ourselves, which is not completely in touch with reality because we don't want to do the hard work. Sometimes people want to continue to litigate ancient hatreds, and so they demonize other groups of people. Or even like St. Augustine said about his desire to steal. Why do I want to steal, St. Augustine says? Because I like it. Maybe sometimes even there's some kind of pleasure, perverted pleasure in it. But again, no matter how successful deceit may be, it will not survive because Jesus is the one who is. And beauty wins, and order wins, and dignity wins in the end. So what we can do, how do we in ourselves be certain that we don't fall into this in small ways? And how do we detect when we are being deceived ourselves? Well, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Stay connected to me. Stay connected to me in prayer, Eucharist, read the scriptures, and bit by bit, we will develop a greater and greater love for what is true, and more of an awareness of and a distaste for what is not true, just within ourselves. So God is beautiful. God is true. God creates order in our lives and creates dignity for us. That beautiful vineyard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the world which you have created to be so beautiful. We thank you that you have created us to be beautiful, to reflect your glory. And we thank you above all that you are beautiful. And we see your beauty in the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. Amen.